Brother Reese, a collective act of consecration of Jesus
in Christ Jesus, all devoted servants of our Blessed Lady. Permit me, before I begin the reflection, to tell you how privileged I am to be among you this afternoon. It is indeed a grace for me to be gathered with you as we come together to ask the Lord's blessing on our apostolate as members of the Legion of Mary, and to seek the prayerful assistance of God's Holy Mother, Mary Immaculate. I'm very proud, as the Bishop of the Diocese, for all that you do to advance the cause of Christ Jesus. For in a very real way, you are the hands, the feet, the lips, the eyes, the ears, the heart, the presence of Christ. As you go to our sisters and brothers, some of whom are deeply united with us in the faith, but many others are still searching, and you go as heralds of hope and of the gospel. And I want to thank you with all my heart, because in such a very real way, you extend the mission that is mine as the apostle in this diocese. So thank you. And know that each of you is in my prayers each day as I ask the Lord to make all you do fruitful for his glory and for the salvation of souls. In his encyclical letter, Ecclesia de Eucharistia, our Holy Father devotes chapter 6 to Mary, whom he calls Woman of the Eucharist. He writes, and I quote, "If we wish to rediscover in all its richness the profound relationship between the Church and the Eucharist, we cannot neglect Mary, mother and model of the Church. Mary can guide us toward this most holy sacrament because she herself has a profound relationship with it." Further on, Pope John Paul II states, "Mary is a woman of the Eucharist in her whole life. The Church, which looks to Mary as a model, is also called to imitate her in her relationship with this most holy mystery." End of quote. We are gathered here this afternoon as members of the Legion of Mary. Surely we look to Mary to bring us closer to Jesus. Ad Jesum per Mariam, to Jesus through Mary. Fixing our eyes on her, we invoke her as the woman of the Eucharist, asking for three graces rooted in this most holy mystery of the Eucharist. First, that we may participate in the Eucharist, in the Eucharistic sacrifice, more fully, more consciously, and more actively. Second, that we may regularly, even daily, be present to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him, thanking him, asking him for the graces we and others need, and making reparation for our sins and the sins of others. And thirdly, that the fruitfulness in our apostolate as the members of the Legion of Mary may be rooted in our union with the Eucharistic Jesus. As he was about to inaugurate the year of the Eucharist last October, Our Holy Father addressed an apostolic letter to us entitled Mane Nobiscum Domine. Within the context of this letter, I invite you to reflect on the three graces for which we are praying this afternoon in his Eucharistic presence with the maternal care of his Holy Mother to assist us. The first grace, to participate in the Mass more fully, consciously, and actively. As we know, the Eucharistic sacrifice represents the Last Supper, Christ's death on the cross, and his resurrection on the last day. You and I do not have to wish that we were there, because at every Mass, we are there. As before us, there is made manifest in this time and place the Lord with his apostles at the Last Supper, the Lord giving his life for us on the altar of the cross, the Lord rising to new and endless life, his promise to us of victory as well. The Eucharist is, as the Holy Father reminds us in his letter, both a sacred meal and a holy sacrifice. The Pope writes, "There is no doubt that the most evident dimension of the Eucharist is that it is a meal. The Eucharist was born on the evening of Holy Thursday in the setting of the Passover meal. Being a meal is part of its very structure. Take, eat. Then he took a cup and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. As such, it expresses the fellowship which God wishes to establish with us and which we ourselves must build with one another." End of quote. But the Eucharist is also a holy sacrifice. And so the Pope continues. Yet it must not be forgotten that the Eucharistic meal also has a profoundly and primarily sacrificial meaning. In the Eucharist, Christ makes present to us anew the sacrifice offered once for all on Golgotha. Present in the Eucharist as the risen Lord, he nonetheless bears the marks of his passion, of which every Mass is a memorial, as the liturgy reminds us in the acclamation following the consecration. We announce your death, Lord. We proclaim your resurrection. At the same time, while the Eucharist makes present what occurred in the past, it also impels us toward the future, when Christ will come again at the end of history. This eschatological aspect makes the sacrament of the Eucharist an event which draws us into itself and fills our Christian journey with hope. We are nourished at the Eucharistic sacrifice, at the twofold table of the Word and the Eucharist. And so as we come to Mass each time, are we prepared to hear the Lord's word? Do we come with an attitude of attentive expectation, looking for the word that he will speak to our hearts, a word that will rouse us when we're weary, a word that will sustain us when we are downcast, a word that will enliven us when we are filled with joy? Do we come expectantly waiting for his word. And in the second part of the Mass, when the Lord takes our gifts and through the power of the Holy Spirit transforms them into his real presence and then gives them back to us, infinitely changed, do we come forward eager to receive him? Oh, indeed, each of us is a sinner. But do we come because he came for us, the sinners? He didn't come for the just. He didn't come for the righteous. He came as a physician for us who are weak and wounded. He came that he might bring us healing. Do we come eager to have him strengthen us, forgive us, heal us, make us whole? Yes, the Holy Father reminds us that the Eucharist is at the source of our very life, and that it must be well celebrated. As he says, the Eucharist is a great mystery. It is one which above all must be well celebrated. Holy Mass needs to be set at the center of the Christian life and celebrated in a dignified manner by every community in accordance with established norms, with the participation of the assembly, with the presence of ministers who carry out their assigned tasks, and with a serious concern that singing and liturgical music be suitably sacred. Do we understand the Eucharist that way? Do we celebrate it that way? The second grace for which we pray, to be present to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament regularly, even if possible daily. There is no greater treasure than we have than to have Jesus truly and really present in our midst. We read about the ancient Jews who traveled in their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land with the cloud accompanying them during the day and the pillar of fire in the night, with the tent of meeting in their presence to which Moses and Aaron would go and experience the presence of the Lord. But all that is just a hint of the treasure we have, to have the Lord present among us in his real presence. It is the miracle of miracles. You know, sometimes we hear people say, oh, I want to travel to wherever because I'm told that there miracles take place. And indeed they do. But we don't have to travel for the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of Jesus present in the Eucharist. The Holy Father puts it this way. There is a particular need to cultivate a lively awareness of Christ's real presence, both in the celebration of the Mass and in the worship of the Eucharist outside Mass. Care should be taken to show that awareness through tone of voice, gestures, posture, and bearing. In this regard, the liturgical law recalls, and I myself have recently reaffirmed, the importance of moments of silence, both in the celebration of the Mass and in Eucharistic adoration. The way that the ministers and the faithful treat the Eucharist should be marked by profound respect. And then he goes on to write a sentence that, at least for me, is one of the most beautiful sentences in this entire apostolic letter. The presence of Jesus in the tabernacle must be a kind of magnetic pole, attracting an ever greater number of souls enamored of him, to wait patiently to hear his voice and, as it were, to sense the beating of his heart. Oh, dear friends, let us often go to be with Jesus in his Eucharistic presence in our tabernacles, there to wait for his word, there, as it were, to hear the beating of a heart that beats at every beat, saying, I love you. May I quote the Holy Father once more time in this connection of Eucharistic adoration outside Mass. During this year, Eucharistic adoration outside Mass should become a particular commitment for individual parish and religious communities. Let us take the time to kneel before Jesus, present in the Eucharist, in order to make reparation by our faith and love for the acts of carelessness and neglect, and even the insults which our Savior must endure in many parts of the world. Let us deepen through adoration our personal and communal contemplation, drawing upon aids to prayer, inspired by the Word of God, in the experience of so many mystics, old and new. The Rosary itself, when it is profoundly understood in the biblical and Christocentric form which I recommended in the apostolic letter Rosarium Virginis Mariae, the Rosary will prove a particularly fitting introduction to Eucharistic contemplation, a contemplation carried out with Mary as our companion and guide. And the third and final grace for which we pray this afternoon, to root our fruitfulness as members of the Legion of Mary in our union with Christ in the Eucharist. Jesus spoke to us of the analogy of the vine and the branches. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. And surely all of us know that. That if all we do isn't rooted in Jesus, then it really won't amount to much. But if it is rooted in him, then he has a way of transforming even our little efforts. We bring him a few fish, a few loaves of bread, and we feel it's never enough. And it isn't on the human level. But he takes it, and he transforms it. And we find that it is more than enough. For there are fragments left over. Yes, dear sisters and brothers, in our apostolate, we must go from the Eucharist to the world. United in the Eucharist, we both pray and serve. Adoring Christ in the Eucharist sends us forth to serving Christ in his people. Holy Father puts that very beautifully. The two disciples of Emmaus, upon recognizing the Lord, set out immediately in order to report what they had seen and heard. Once we have truly met the risen one by partaking of his body and blood, we cannot keep to ourselves the joy we have experienced. The encounter with Christ, constantly intensified and deepened in the Eucharist, issues in the church and in every Christian an urgent summons to testimony and evangelization. I wish to emphasize this in my homily announcing the year of the Eucharist based on the words of St. Paul. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The apostle closely relates meal and proclamation. Entering into communion with Christ in the memorial of his Pasch also means sensing the duty to be a missionary of the event made present in that rite. The dismissal at the end of Mass is a charge given to Christians, inviting them to work for the spread of the gospel and the imbuing of society with Christian values. And is that not what you do? as members of the Legion of Mary. Do you know, do you not go forth to spread the gospel and to bring gospel values into the lives of individuals, into lives of families, into the parish and community in which you labor? Yes, dear sisters and brothers, we have asked for three graces with Mary's help. We appreciate the Mass and celebrate it more fully, deeply and consciously. To be present to our Lord in the tabernacle so that we might be transformed as we listen to the beating of his heart. And to have all we do as members of the Legion of Mary made more fruitful when we are united more closely with our Lord. Permit me to end this reflection with the closing paragraph with which our Holy Father concluded the apostolic letter. We have before us the example of the saints who in the Eucharist found nourishment on their journey toward perfection. How many times did they shed tears of profound emotion in the presence of this great mystery, or experienced hours of inexpressible spousal joy before the sacrament of the altar? May we be helped above all by the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose whole life incarnated the meaning of the Eucharist. The Church, which looks to Mary as a model, is also called to imitate her in her relationship with this most holy mystery. The Eucharistic bread which we receive is the spotless flesh of her Son. Ave verum corpus natum de Maria Virgine. In this year of grace, sustained by Mary, may the Church discover new enthusiasm for her mission and come to acknowledge ever more fully that the Eucharist is the source and summit of her entire life. Mary, woman of the Eucharist, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen.